Welcome to the Geek Therapeutics Podcast, a show that leverages geek culture to help eliminate communication barriers, improve conversations in everyday life, and understand cognitive perspectives all through the lens of geek therapy. During the time on our show, you're going to hear from industry professionals such as certified geek therapists, certified geek specialists, and certified therapeutic game masters, and hear how they're using their knowledge in the geek world in their professional and private lives. We're so excited that you're here with us today, and we can't wait to learn more about today's guests.
Welcome, everybody, to Geek Therapeutics Podcast, where we sit down with some of our very talented certified geek therapists, game masters, dungeon masters, and industry specialists. And I'm here today with my cohort. Did I say I said that weird. Co-host.
I could be your co-horse today. That's cool.
Alicia.
Hi, everybody. This is Alicia Filiolo with Geek Therapeutics. And we are excited today as we get to hang out with another special guest and talk about their profession, what Geek Therapeutics has helped them do, and their certification. And today our special guest is...
I'm Adam Baldowski. I'm a registered mental health counselor intern here in Winter Park, Florida. My pronouns are they, them. I'm a huge horror fan, and I'm definitely Marvel over DC.
Yes.
That
was so good. Oh my God.
Perfect.
I'm dying.
All right. So tell us a bit about yourself, Adam. Who are you? Where can we find your stuff? What kind of games do you like? You know, what makes you tick? What makes that geek Spidey sense tingle?
Well, I grew up in the 80s, and so I used to play Dungeons and Dragons when I was in elementary school until it wasn't cool anymore and all the bullies came out. So I stopped for a really long time and learned about geekdom and nerddom and all that. And I kept attributing it to comic books, but I realized that I'm a huge fan of Buffy the Vampire Slayer, horror films. And I just kind of never attributed that to the geek realm until I found Geek Therapeutics. It really was like, you know, 30 years later that I started to realize like, oh, wow. Okay. This is a thing. I can do this. So, I'm in Winter Park, Florida. Never thought I would live in Florida, but here I am 10 years later, still here.
So I want to go back to why Marvel over DC, because I think that sets a really great tone for individuals in the geek space, because we all have our own rivalries. And I think the Marvel DC rivalry is huge. And I want to know why Adam is Marvel over DC.
Well, they tell a better story. No, I'm just kidding. X-Men, in short, the X-Men. I grew up at the X-Men cartoon, and I'm very excited that they just announced they're bringing that back. And growing up as a kid questioning their sexuality in the 80s and 90s, the X-Men were that, you know, the kind of the allegory for the LGBTQ population. I think it just connected with it, even if I didn't realize it then.
I think that a lot of people who grew up in the 80s and 90s with X-Men, the animated series, shout out to Cal and Lenora and co for coming back, and that Disney is reviving. I'm so excited because I know the voice actors of the animated series, and I have got to spend time with the creator, the husband and wife duo. And we had that discussion, just like you said, questioning their sexuality and watching this show. There was a lot of conversations that were going on in that show that were very adult that kids didn't understand. But as individuals our age now point back to, wow, when I was watching X-Men, the animated series, these things, now that I look back at them, have helped me realize what life was like, or I was exposed to them. And I mean, I'm just thinking of one piece right now where Wolverine is in his bed and he's looking at a picture of Storm. I think it's Storm. I could be wrong.
Jean and Cyclops.
Is it Jean and Cyclops?
Yeah.
In his bed that he's looking at?
Yeah.
Okay. So anyways, he's looking at a picture. And when you talk to Cal says like, he is in a moment of pleasure. And these conversations that he is having, looking at this frame, is exploring adult content in a childlike show. And I love that the X-Men are where your foundation in Marvel is, because I think that's really important for a lot of people in our age category, that X-Men the Animated Series was so much for so many people and helped us through a lot. They were like my babysitters, so I spent a lot of time watching the animated series. And it really did help shape who I am as a person and how I see like geek culture and cartoons. So I love that. Is there anything else in the Marvel DC universe that really pushes you over into the Marvel world versus the DC world outside of the cartoon?
I think the current MCU, they've just done a really nice job telling a story and connecting everything. Whether I know their mantra is everything's connected. I don't know how much of that is, oh, we realize everything's connected, so that's what we're going to say, or if that was always the plan. But being a storyteller myself, loving just how stories connect us as people, I fell in love with that aspect of it. And then when they moved to Disney Plus and all the series, I mean, they're kicking butt in those shows. WandaVision's probably one of my favorites that's come out.
Cornell, do you have anything about Wanda that you want to talk?
Oh my, especially with what we've seen in the trailers for Multiverse of Madness, it's going to be really interesting, because there is that interesting dichotomy that they bring up in the trailer, that when Doctor Strange breaks reality, he's seen as a hero, but Wanda is seen as the villain. And to me, that brings up a big equality theme. Yeah. And you know, gender equality being a huge thing. And it'll just be interesting to see what we get with Multiverse of Madness, and especially with the one voice that we hear during the trailer saying we should tell him the truth.
Who do you think it is?
It's Patrick Stewart. It's Professor X.
I'm so excited. I cannot wait. Oh, man, I love that you love Marvel. I love Marvel. I love DC. I love them for different reasons. My brother and I will get in a fight about who is better, but you're right. Storytelling is different with Marvel, and over at DC, it's a little darker. Marvel's mm-hmm. a little bit lighter, it seems. Maybe it's because Disney has bubblegummed it up, but I feel that with Wanda, I think this is a really great segue into this next segment about learning about Geek Therapeutics and you, Adam, because there is this idea in with Doctor Strange and Wanda that Doctor Strange breaks things, changes the multiverse completely, and it's okay. And while he gets mad at, I won't spoil anything, but while he gets mad at other people, he is still, it's okay because Strange did it. But when Wanda does it, and she does it for her family, she does it for the man that she loves, because that's all she wants back, because everything has been ripped from her since childhood. She wants one piece of just semblance of normal life. She is hated for it and broken apart, and S.H.I.E.L.D. wants her. Everybody wants her gone, but we're not doing that to Strange. And it seems that if he's meddling in the world, it's okay. But once a woman does it for love, it's like, why can't she have the same pull that it's okay, but maybe we shouldn't do this because other people didn't consent to it? Mm-hmm. Whereas Strange can just break whatever he wants. And maybe I'm wrong. I mean, correct me if I'm wrong.
No, you're Adam, accurate.
If you've got anything to say about the Wanda Strange controversy, like, I am down to hear, because I really feel like as a woman, she is being treated completely different. And as a man, he's being praised.
It's not just that, it's her grief. She's processing her grief.
Well, I also think there's an interesting concept of, is she even conscious of what was happening early on in the first episodes of WandaVision? Because we see later on when she's kind of going through the moments of her life, seems to kind of click in what's going on, and we see the grief bursting out of her, which I think is such a beautiful scene. And her and Vision kind of take on these roles. And so I actually wonder if she was even aware early on of what she had done.
when you place it that way, it makes me think of when you work with a client who has PTSD and the way that an individual with PTSD compartmentalizes and things are shut off and they're numb to it, but they're still going through the motions with no idea of what is actually going on because they're incapable of processing those moments. And I think you're right. You're probably spot on. Wanda is completely tuned out and has no idea, but is rolling through the motions because that's what she knows. Speaking of motions and rolling, how did you find Geek Therapeutics?
By accident. Well, actually, two ways. I found it through Facebook, and a client of mine actually mentioned Geek Therapy. And so when I searched for Geek Therapy, I came across Geek Therapeutics, and it just kind of clicked, kind of like my pronouns. Like I heard the pronouns and it clicked. And then I saw Geek Therapeutics and read about it and said, oh, wow, we can make therapy fun for people. I mean, we still work on hard concepts, but and I've had clients tell me that they're like, I didn't know therapy could actually be enjoyable.
Really?
Yeah.
I love that. Oh, I hope that the listeners who are listening can reach out. If you have a therapist, reach out to your therapist. Mm-hmm. Let them know that Geek Therapeutics is here. Therapy can be fun. Therapists are geeky. Like, use your fandom. Oh, I love that you've had a client say that to you. Oh, that makes me so happy.
That's, I'm trying to get my kids' school psychologists to look into Geek Therapeutics, and same with their counselors, because I think it would be a big benefit, especially to school systems.
But it's amazing how the thing that I realized with Geek Therapeutics is, especially once I started to use it, is how people open up when you connect with them through their interests. You know, we're taught as therapists to connect and have that empathy and, you know, reflect and all those magic things. But when you actually bring in their interests into it, it's a whole different world for them.
With the Marvel aspect, what do you think of what they could do coming up with the Marvels? Are we going to see our first representation of the LGBTQ community within something like the Marvels or a future project? I know we did see some representation in Eternals, but it wasn't center stage with our main character, our main protagonist. It was relegated to a secondary protagonist. I would love to see that representation brought front and center with our main protagonist.
I would love that too, but Disney being Disney, I don't think we're going to get it front and center. I mean, they made a big deal with Endgame that there was LGBT representation, and turns out it was just the grief scene with the director talking about going on a date. So, I mean, I'm with you. I would love to see it. And it's nice, though, that we're finally seeing representation without it being so depressing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. I don't think Disney is going to be full frontal about LGBTQ characters yet. I do think that DC is going to beat Marvel to the punch, and I think that they will have a fully LGBTQ identifying superhero as its standalone before anybody else does. But that's the difference between when you're owned by Disney and when you are having houses like Warner Brothers and Sony publish. Is it publish? Produce movies. and I spent a lot of time in board game and therapy publication. So my words are totally wrong, but I think you're right. And I think that there's going to be a divide. And once that divide is broken, I think whoever does it first, when they do it, everybody else will be jumping at the bit to see if they can make it better, which I don't know if I want that either. I don't think I want to be the punchline of who can do my community justice quicker, faster, better, more technologically advanced. So I have a struggle with that and how movies really interact with people and how we see characters. And you said that you had played D&D, so you're really used to characters and seeing these characters in your own life and role playing them out, whether it be at home or in the TV. Do you have a moment in time where a character that you played and role played impacted your life, or a character that you saw on the TV or in a film that impacted your life?
Yeah, I'd say Buffy was the character that was a turning point. I would like to say gaming, building characters, but I'm getting back into gaming. I'm such a bad gamer because I'm the type who will play a game for a while and then I'll put it away and like, oh yeah, I was playing that game 3 months ago. I should probably pick it back up. So with D&D, I'm trying to get back into it because I love the character development. But Buffy and Willow were the probably the characters that were a turning point for me. Just that they were a different form of a hero. Yeah. And Willow was the first gay character that I can think of that was handled in a very kind of delicate and interesting way. Like they told a good story rather than just making like, they didn't make her a punchline.
Can you tell us what those two characters, the impact that they had on you?
I think that identity. I think it comes down to identity. So I've spent most of my life questioning some form of my identity, whether it was my sexual orientation or gender identity. And there was something about those characters that I just connected with and thought, oh, you know, if I were to actually embrace my gender identity and those are kind of, that's who I'd want to be. So I kind of, I don't know, saw myself in those roles. So identity.
That's beautiful. And I think that geek therapy can help guide that for people. Have you seen in your own practice that you're able to guide individuals through geek culture in a therapeutic setting?
Oh, 100%. It's, I work a lot with the LGBTQ population, work with trans clients a lot, and they connect with characters all the time, whether it's in games or movies or comics, anime. And I've seen that kind of that connection to one particular character, and it could be a personality or even something the character's gone through that just resonates with them and kind of realize, oh, wait, this is okay. I can see myself in that. Avatars, creating their avatars to test out their gender identity has also been a big deal.
I have to say, I actually brought this up to Elisa in a private conversation recently, and I came out as bi within the last calendar year, and that I find myself, instead for the whole stereotypical thing of creating a female avatar just to look at something pretty, I'm realizing I'm making my avatar to look like what I wish I would look like if I was a woman. And it's been very empowering. And it's also, in a way, allowed to tap into some of that femininity and that feminine side, which is really nice. And what I agree, creating an avatar lets you explore those things.
When it lets you create that safe, it's a safe environment. It's, unless you're on camera and people can see you, there's an anonymity to it. So you're behind the screen, but you're this character you've created, maybe this persona that how you see yourself inside or how you wish people saw you is being portrayed in a safe environment. By the way, can we also talk safe for a moment? Speaking of femininity, mm-hmm. That WandaVision also gave us a female superhero costume that did not show skin or, you know, make her real busty.
Agreed. And that was fantastic and way overdue.
Yeah, and there was a moment in WandaVision when she comes out in and she's flying above the city and you see her as the Scarlet Witch. And she's not this, like you said, over busty with this deep plunging cleavage line and high thigh high skirt. And it just gave you a moment of, wow, like she can be powerful. She can be feminine and she can still be seen as sexy while being modest and covered up. And it made me think, like, did she choose that for her children? Because the boys are there. Did she choose that to show that she's a strong woman in pants? Like, what? There were so many questions I had. Like, I get all choked up thinking about it because I think for the first time, Marvel did something that showed that you did not have to be sexified as the whole sex sells trope to be a powerful, strong, independent woman who is at times the villain and the hero. And I could talk about Wanda all day long and the psychology of Wanda because I love it so much.
But on the same hand, didn't we also have a costume like that with Captain Marvel with Brie Larson? So, but it's good to see that we are seeing that becoming the norm, you know, and it is important that we see that, and people need to get used to it being the norm and not the exception.
Yeah. I don't know if anybody remembers, for anybody who grew up in the 90s, Marvel would put out the swimsuit edition of their comic book characters. And I always remember all the characters sitting out by the pool and the men just being, you know, ripped, and the women in very skimpy bikinis.
Yeah, I remember those.
Adam, you said you work with the LGBTQ clientele of the area in Florida that you're in. What do you do with them in session in regard to Geek Therapeutics and the learning that you have, the knowledge that you have learned through the Geek Therapeutic programs?
Well, for one, I'm putting together a D&D group, having done the Game Master program, and I'm actually been pleasantly surprised how many people are interested in those types of groups. I play video games in session with clients sometimes, especially the younger teens when they don't want to talk. You know, we'll play a game, and it's kind of interesting to see them open up, because trust, I think, is a big issue within this population. You know, they're used to sharing their story, and you know, their friends might accept them, but maybe their family doesn't. So I try to provide a space where we can just have an honest conversation where they're just accepted. And I use a concept where I tell them, I'm not a big fan of the term coming out, because I feel like we come out to make other people feel comfortable. So we talk more about inviting in, where they have the power to invite people into their world, and I let them invite me into their geekdom, whatever that is. So a question I always start with in my first session is, what are they into? And tell me what they enjoy, what they geek out about, and then try to fold that in each session.
When you are having these sessions, is there a specific style or modality that you work within these sessions, whether it be gaming or now that you're starting tabletop role playing? Do you have a modality that's your go-to?
Narrative therapy is kind of my modality there, because it fits with everything we do in geek therapy. You know, with tabletop role playing games, it's, you know, you build the story. You get to write the characters, write the story. I have clients who play certain video games and they enjoy the gameplay, but it's really the story that they connect with, the narrative, so that they relate their own lived experiences to the experiences that their characters have. I think that's what you were asking.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, absolutely. Is narrative therapy, is it working with video gaming as you're playing with your clients? And what games are you playing with your clients?
I was going to ask that question.
I play a lot of Mario Kart because I also like to see kind of the competitive side. I have a lot of clients who will say that I'm very competitive, so I want to see how competitive they are. And sometimes I'm more competitive than they are. So I learned a little bit about myself. Persona is one, but we don't really play that in session. We talk about it more because it's not really a two person. I'm blanking on the name of the game. not League of Legends. So you play all the Nintendo characters and you're fighting
Smash
each other.
Brothers.
That's it. Smash Brothers. Well, I need to get back my geek card.
We'll let you have this half a stamp. We'll give you half a stamp on your geek card today. I've been like question heavy. Cornell, I'm so sorry. If you have anything that you want to ask, just butt it in.
No, it's going great. That drink went down the wrong pipe, so I'm a little hoarse. So,
got it.
I would like to add that what's something that my goal, one of my goals for this year, well, two of my goals are to add the D&D group and I want to add virtual reality to my sessions.
Please talk about virtual reality.
Yeah, I was about to. Yeah.
I'm still researching it. I got an Oculus recently. And so I've been playing around with it myself to try to, you know, learn, just kind of orient myself to VR. So part of what I need to do is figure out how I can get clients oriented so they don't fall over. I know it's used for exposure therapy a lot. So, mm-hmm. you know, work on phobias and maybe like public speaking, things like that. But I'd like to try to find maybe not a different way of using it, but kind of using some of the more modern games that are out there that clients can connect with rather than try to find pre-made software that's out there, because some of that software, while helpful, just doesn't look good.
I haven't gotten to try it can you hear me? I haven't gotten to try it myself yet, but there is meditation VR. Mm-hmm. I'm going to be trying that here very soon. That would suggest that just from what I've been looking at, it looks really nice for just doing like a, because it has its own narrated guided meditation sessions within it. And possibly for not conflict resolution, but for getting used to not always winning, put them into Beat Saber. Because mm-hmm. depending on the song, they might not win.
I love Beat Saber. It's one of my favorite games.
I've never played an Oculus. So I've been around one. I've never played it. I used to play the VR headset from PlayStation. And then I suffered a brain injury and I was like, I'm not putting that heavy thing on my head anymore. I don't want to get sick. And so since then I haven't even touched it, but I hear the Oculus is an amazing tool that people are using in therapy. I don't know anybody mm-hmm. who's doing it. I've done some research on it and it seems that it is a really great tool to, like you said, work with agoraphobia and helping people get outside without really leaving the confines of a space. And I know you were talking about having to orient your clients. I saw a video on Instagram where a clinician had them, an individual in the headset, in the office, in a square, and they walked into the office, they saw the square, they stood in the square, they put them in the headset, set them down on a chair in the square and asked them to stay seated in the square until they felt that they could move through a session in like the VR space, I guess. And then the next session they stood them up. And then the final session, they had them walking around inside the square. So I don't know anything about VR, but it looked like it worked in three sessions. So maybe that is something that you can focus on mm-hmm. when you're orienting them. I don't know anything about it.
There's also
VR
cyber shoes that mm-hmm. you can sit them on and you just put down a pad of carpet, or if you have carpet down already, and you just set them in like a chair, like a bar stool chair, and literally they can move their feet and it will move them within the virtual world. And there's these like sled like shoes that they wear on their feet.
That is so cool.
Yeah, something I'd like to eventually do, so this is down the road, is they're starting to produce VR treadmills.
Mm-hmm.
And they're starting to produce them for personal use, so for home, yep. like smaller spaces.
Omnidirectional, yeah.
Yeah. And you strap into them, so you can run, it takes a little bit to get used to, but you're not going to fall over.
Mm-hmm. That is so cool. I think VR is the coolest thing ever. And I remember back in the 90s at the mall when the VR was this big box mm-hmm. that you stood in and you just looked around and there was all these screens, and then it became this big thing that they placed on your head and your shoulders. And it was like wearing like a contraption as if you were helping film a movie. And now it's these little things the size of a cell phone. And that's amazing.
Yep.
Have you seen any pushback with your boss on implementing those type of things in sessions? or wanting to implement them?
No. So I have my own practice in Winter Park. So I don't have a boss, but I do have my qualified supervisor who's supervising me, and he's actually very interested in a lot of this. We were just talking about meditation apps for VR. So he'll probably be disappointed that I didn't mention that earlier, but we're going to look at doing that together, maybe go in on like a meditation app so that we both can use it.
What's nice about meditation VR is that it's free. So that could be something you guys can look into.
Man, that's awesome. Is your supervisor geeky?
Yes, he's very much into Neil Gaiman. He's like Nordic stories. One thing I love about the geek world and geek therapeutics, I think the thing that opened my eyes the most when doing geek therapeutics is anything can be geek related. It's like I said in the beginning, like I always kind of thought about comic books, but sports, food. Mm-hmm. I mean, there could be, we all geek out over something. And so that's what I love with our clients is they geek out over something. We just have to tap into it.
Can you imagine telling a person who likes to watch sports and geeks out about how the Rams won the Super Bowl? Can you imagine telling them like, that's nerdy. Like that's geeky. Mm-hmm. You are so excited about something that you will never do. Like that is geeky in nature. Can you imagine what that person's face would look like if you told them that?
Oh, I already tell people all the time, especially when it comes to football, is I hear from, especially my family, football fans who will say, I don't understand how people can watch people play video games all day long while they're watching a football game. So I just say the same thing back to them. I don't know how you can watch football since you don't play it.
Response.
They tongue tied, kind of like, oh, well, I guess you're right.
I think it's so funny because it's so true. My nephew, he plays competitive. But what's the game that you play where you build like
it's a Minecraft?
No, not Minecraft, but it's like that. But it's like people, they dance. I'm gonna get my geek therapy specialist card ganked away from me. They're like, you're not certified anymore. He played competitive Fortnite, and I made a comment. I was like, you're such a nerd. He's all, I am not a nerd. And I was all, wait, but you are. And he's all, no, I'm not. I was all, you wear Fortnite clothes, you dance like Fortnite, you play Fortnite all the time, you competitively play Fortnite, you only want me to send you Fortnite dollars. I'm pretty sure that's a nerd. That's geeky. You are geeking out over Fortnite. I've never seen a 13-year-old get so angry that I called him a geek. And it makes me sad because we have this connotation. And I don't know if it's like this in your community, but there's this connotation that's so negative about the word geeky or nerdy. And man, I don't know how we get kids to embrace it because we all are, like you said, Adam, geeking out over something.
Mm-hmm. Well, we even use that term, right? We geek out. I just don't think people think about, especially kids, don't think about, some of the words they use. So they all geek out. They just don't associate that with being a geek.
When you have your sessions, when you start your D&D sessions, do you have a plan on how you will have your clients enter those sessions and how you will exit those sessions based on anything that you've learned at Geek Therapeutics and trainings?
I'm honestly still working on it. I know that one of the most important parts of it is the session zero, to get everybody kind of on board, go over the rules. The other thing I think that the Game Master program taught me is, you can prepare, but don't over prepare. So be prepared to let the group kind of do some of the driving.
Is that hard as a clinician? Because clinicians were taught that in school, when you're learning to be the clinician, you're taught to, you must control the narrative. You have to make sure they're hitting these points. Does that mess with your brain a little bit where you're being told by doctors, hey, like, just go with the flow. Let it happen naturally. Does it conflict with your brain?
I have three dogs at home. I completely understand.
Mine's going off in the background too.
Does it conflict with your mind and the way that you're trained to run sessions? Because it's really teaching us how to be a facilitator instead of being the clinician. The clinician moves things, the facilitator guides and just listens. So I know for me, it was kind of hard to break that and compartmentalize that idea that you don't need to overplan, you don't need to overworry. Was it the same for you, having to go through that process and listen to the staff train you in that way?
In my first supervision with my qualified supervisor, after my first session, the first thing they said to me was, "We need to get the grad school out of you." And because I was just following those, like, those marks. And I think that shocked me more than the geek therapeutics training did. I think the geek therapeutics gave me permission to find ways to do that.
That's beautiful. That is a beautiful sentiment and comment that you were told you need to, in the military, we have a term for that. I won't use it on air, but we have a term for removing you from the boot camp. And I feel like grad school is our boot camp. And then I love that you said the geek therapeutics gave you permission, because I think that we give our clients permission to let loose and share their geekdom and open up. Like you said, like, when you give me the permission to be in your space can be as wide open as it needs to be. And I love that geek therapeutics gave you the permission to create. What is the most impactful training that you've done with geek therapeutics?
Oh, now you're putting me on the spot. I'm trying to think back to the, I think the D&D, the Game Master training, all the courses in the certified therapist training were great, but being able to get with a group of people weekly, play a game, openly talk about the experience with somebody who's gone through it. I'm a big proponent of experiential learning. And so I love all the videos and trainings and stuff, but I think the actually sitting down for, I think it was 8 weeks, and playing those games just gave a different perspective for me.
That's really cool. And we're coming up on the end of our time here, Adam. So I want to give you a few moments here to plug yourself, plug your practice, plug your passions for us, and send us out on just where we can find you and where people can learn more about you.
Sure. So my practice is called Storyology. It's like psychology, but Storyology. My website is storyology.care, and you can find me on Twitter, Instagram, TikTok at a storyologist, like psychologist, but a storyologist. I'm also on Facebook, but I can't remember what my Facebook handle is. I think it's Your Lived Experience, but I don't use my Facebook as often.
Fair enough. All right. I want to thank you, Adam, very much for joining us today as our guest and being an amazing and awesome guest. What I'm loving about this is that each experience with each person we have is so unique and so personable to not only our guests, but to your passions and what you care about. And I want to thank you for opening up to us with that and bringing us that perspective. So I'm Cornell Kritz.
And I'm Alicia Filiolo, and this has been a Geek Therapeutics podcast. Adam, again, thank you so much for being here, and we cannot wait to talk with y'all next week. If you are a geek therapist, a geek specialist, a dungeon master, a professional in the geek space, please reach out to us at media@geektherapeutics.com, and we would love to sit down and talk to you about all things geekdom and how you are using it in your professional life.
So, folks, we will see you next week, same time, same channel. Take care of yourselves. Ah!